Thank God for his goodness. Amen. Well, for those that are looking at this little set we have built, if you were here for Friday Worship Fest, it was a joyous time of worship. We had close to, I think, as Pete Meredith said, 150 people in and out through that time. It was a great opportunity, and it was a vision that Michael had, Michael, my son, and he was able to see that come to fruition, and those people that participated in it just brought a blessing. Eric preached and brought a dynamic word of faith and encouragement as he spoke about worship and gave little mini sermons throughout the time. We had individuals from our congregation that sang and just gave their testimony in song. It was a blessing. It was a time of true worship, I felt, in my heart. And one thing that encouraged me, they had no one to run the slides for the words, so I ran up to the top and was sitting beside James as he did such a wonderful job in running the sound. But throughout the time, James would get the sound, then he'd be praising the Lord. And it encouraged me to see him, even in the midst of the work that he was doing, having to keep his mind concentrated on this, he still was lifting up his hands and giving glory to God. What a joy to know that we can praise God in the midst of activity. And certainly that is the time to do it. Amen. No matter what you're doing, to give praise and honor to God and the things he has done. Praise God. And I'm happy this microphone's working pretty good today. Praise the Lord. And we do welcome those that are visitors and has just here for first or second times. But what a great time it was to have that worship. I just felt it was a great direction for our church to outwardly lift up the name of Christ and praise. And Tim touched upon worship and praise this day in Sunday school. And I thought the worship fest to me that we had on Friday, and we do worship here on Sunday mornings with song and testimony. But it was an outward praise, of what people had in their hearts. And I believe that people that came to that worship fest not only saw the outward praise of people in music, but they had an opportunity to have an inward experience in the things of God. If you come with a heart that desires to touch God, I believe God will touch your heart. Who believes that? I believe that with all my heart, that we come with an anticipation to worship God, and God will meet us at the point of our anticipation. I don't want to say you can't be surprised by God, where you come really not knowing what to expect, and all of a sudden you have an encounter with God. But either way, when you come expecting God to meet you, just be prepared. If you've come this day wondering if God will meet you at your point of need or at the point you are in your life, know this, that God has already said that, and when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, and he will come to those that diligently seek him. And if we ask, seek, and knock, we certainly will find God. God is not far off from us. God is very close to us, and he loves you so much that he has given Jesus Christ his son. And so if he has given him, will he not also with that give us freely all things unto us? And we thank God for his presence with us this day. The union of union with Christ, I should say, is an experience that a spiritual worship will emanate from our lives. It will bring us to a place which carries us through our life. If you continue to worship God in spirit, if that becomes the essence of your life, I am worshiping God, I'm rising to worship him in spirit and truth, that will be that which brings you through your life with joy in your heart. If you are following Christ as in some mechanical way or some philosophy, as a philosophy, then you will never find the full experience that Christ has for you. Christ wants to come into a union with you and give you a total and complete and full experience of him. The thought that I have, and Jamie, you asked me a title. Here's the title. cultivating a life that glorifies God. Who wants to glorify God this day? Well, there's a way to cultivate that life. There's a way to come into a place where I'm not saying you're going to achieve that. As Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which lie ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I feel like that in many aspects of my life, that I am pressing towards the things of God. But I think it is the very pressing forward. It's the very desire to glorify God that will give you the impetus to go forward as the Holy Spirit enters into that activity of seeking to glorify God in all things. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. And we should constantly be seeking to glorify God. And we've said many times that the chief end of man, as in the Westminster Catechism says, is to worship God, be found glorifying God. The chief end of man is to glorify God, to give him the glory that he deserves. Who deserves the glory other than God Almighty, who has given us all things richly? I believe that the way we cultivate the glory to God is firstly seen in cultivating holiness in our lives. And you said, oh, yes, I've heard that before, but who can be holy? The Bible says, holiness unto the Lord, or be holy even as the Lord is holy. Not as though this is achieved by your own effort. You can never be holy on your own effort. You can be self-righteous. You can appear to be have the outside of the cup cleansed, but and meanwhile, the inside may well be filled with extortion. But to have a life of holiness, it is something that needs to happen as the Spirit of God leads you into that place. First of all, you need to offer yourself unto God, willing to be made holy and willing to be brought in to a place of a holy lifestyle. Again, I always like to affirm the fact that my righteousness is not a righteousness that I have attained. It is the righteousness of God. A holiness that I would attain would not be something that is seen in I live a very pious life. It is a holiness that has already been given me. I am clothed with the robe of righteousness because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Can we say amen to that? It's not by our good works. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. And that grace is given to us by God to be able to rise up and live a life that is pleasing to him, all the while being moved along by the Holy Spirit. It is not an achievement. It is an endowment of God's holiness given to us as we receive Christ into our heart. But there is a life of holiness that we live again by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And there is a way to be cultivating that. It begs the question how to cultivate this life. And when we think about that, everybody wants to live a holy life. The Bible says that those that would try to cultivate their holiness by anything other than by the power of the Holy Spirit in them are those that are doing it by their works. The Bible said, every man's works will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. And so the Bible says that whatever you are doing, it must be done to, by, and through God Almighty. It is nothing that you can do through self-effort. And if it is self-effort, then it is not of God. And if it is a self-effort, then it is going to be burned up. The Bible said you will be saved even in the midst of this, but so is by fire. The fire will purge, in essence, everything that is not of God. So know this. That you are not fooling anybody if you're trying to appear righteous and holy and pious in the face of people, because God knows your heart. Amen? And God knows my heart, and he knows the desires of our heart. If our desire is to live to the glory of God, that is the first step in cultivating that life. It must be a heart that is sincerely acknowledging that we are incapable of ourselves to do anything worthwhile. Anything self-actuated is always from the flesh. We must be living in the power and by the strength of the Spirit within us to be able to give a pleasing offering unto God. And so with that thought, I'm going to move towards the scripture that I will be using today with a preliminary thought. I believe that true fruit that is seen in the life of a Christian can only be produced as we come into a total dependence upon God Almighty. It's a total dependence. That's almost a joyous thought in my heart, because it's a wow, I don't have to strive anymore. I don't have to wonder if I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and if I'm good enough for something, or somebody's better than me, or if I'm as good as my last performance or the last thing I've done. Once you come into total dependence upon God and you've cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you, you come into a place of liberty. Whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. And when you are walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, there is a freedom of being totally dependent on the Lord and not looking to yourself. In no way am I saying that you do not work. Not work, you study to show yourself approved, the Bible said. And the works that you present to God are acceptable to God. But you have to know in your heart that it is not of your own self that that this has been achieved. It has to be achieved by your reliance on the Holy Spirit working within you. The day that you begin to take credit for things done is the day that you become self-consumed. And any minister of God who begins to take credit for what he has done is one that has now slipped in to the things of the flesh and has slipped out of the will of God. God said, my glory will I not share with another. God deserves all the glory, and we should give him the glory that is due his name. But yet we can cultivate this life of glorifying God. Absolute dependence. Absolute dependence on God Almighty. I plant something in my garden, and it needs water. Who gives that water? Maybe I pour a bucket of it, but who gave the water? It's God. It needs nutrients. Maybe I get my 10-10-10 fertilizer, but who gives the growth? It's God, and he gives the nutrients. It needs sunshine, and obviously, who gives that sunshine but God Almighty? It is grown by God. It is sustained by God, and the fruit will come by God Almighty. He gives the increase. The job of the plant is to just stay in the ground and to be still. Be still and know that I am God. God is in control. The scripture that is stirring in my heart this day is one that you're familiar with, and it has been spoken of many times. But when I think of John 15, about the life of the vine and the branches, I want to constantly bring myself into the place of thanksgiving that I am in Christ and he is in me. For that is the truth and the essence of this perfectly beautiful passage. Christ in us, the hope of glory, that he is in us. And it is nothing that we can do of ourselves. The branch is totally dependent on the vine. John 15:1 said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I spoke unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. When I look at this scripture, it is so encouraging to me, and it is also a challenge to me to know that I am not only in the vine, but I want to stay there, and I want to be still in the things of God. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is the vine. Remember that all of your life, that all the life's breaths you have spiritually is through Jesus Christ. Whatever flows through that vine to the branches, it is the life of Jesus Christ that is flowing to you. Nothing of yourself. If you get yourself into that mindset and into that understanding and into that spiritual state where you know that it is Christ that is in you, the hope of glory, and you are resting in him, your life will flourish as never before. We thought about the fact that sometimes we have anxiety in coming into prayer, and many people maybe have pulled away because of their feeling of insufficiency. But I believe that a man need not be anxious for everything, for anything. But with everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And then what happens? Then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It is the peace of God that we are seeking. The peace to be able to rest in him. The peace to be able to not strive anymore, but to rest in the Lord God Almighty and listen for his voice to give you movement. Michael said a very important thing to me after the worship fest. He said, I felt like this was not work at all. There was no pressure in this at all. We just merely stood up there and worshiped the Lord. That is when you know that you have entered into a spiritual walk with God. When it is no more work, it is no more striving. I'm not going to say that you won't have trials, you won't have challenges, but when you are doing it and it is as though you are being moved along by God Almighty, it is as being a branch that is connected to the vine. Moving in the things of God is the most important thing. Jesus is the vine. The next verse said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What a solemn word. I'm not quite sure on what level this means taken away to perdition, taken away out of the vine, or taken away in the sense that you are put to the side. If a person will not walk in the things of God, he in essence is being put to the side of his own volition, because every branch is to be producing and to be flowing, filled with that life of Christ flowing through them. I don't want to be taken away. I want to flow in the things of God Almighty. What a challenge, what an opportunity God is offering you today. If you have been a branch that has been laid aside, I believe there is hope that you can be reinstituted in the things of God, and God will flow through you once again. Refuse to be laid aside. I refuse to be laid aside. I'm taking the kingdom of God by force so that I might press on towards the things of God. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit. Now, what is the fruit? First of all, I think the fruit is anything that is done in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that leaves a broad door. It may be something that you do, but if it is done in the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is an outgrowth of what Christ has done in you. It is the fruit of a spiritual life in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are to bear fruit. Who wants to bear fruit unto God? Whatever you consider that to be. It may be what you consider to be your ministry. It may be your life at work. It may be what you do to raise your family and bring them unto God. Whatever you are doing, whether it be job or family or church ministry or missionary work, whatever you do as it is done and you are saying, I am done, I am doing this unto God. And when it's not done unto God, you know what you seek instead? You seek accolades of man. You want man to come up and praise you for what you have done. I said to Lillian the other day, I really don't desire to be praised for things that I do, especially in the church setting. It doesn't hurt for somebody to come up and pat you on the back and say, hey, good job. But when somebody begins to laud and say, you're this and you're that, it almost makes me get on the defense, lest I take that into myself and say, whoa, I am a pretty good guy. You know, there's only one of me in the world. Aha. And then you begin to get a bit self-consumed. And you begin, we used to say in show business, you begin to believe your own reviews, what you read in the paper. And the day that you begin to count the words of man over above the Spirit of God is the day that you're in trouble. And you better watch yourself, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit goes before a fall. We need to be very cautious that we return all glory unto God, not as a habit or not because I'm afraid that I'm going to take the glory myself, but let it come from a heart that is so filled with that knowledge that it, yes, and it's God that has done that within me. Not to be humble or false humility rather, but to be truly humble in saying, I know that it is God that has put me in this place. I know that it is God that has given me the opportunity to minister. I know that it is God that has worked through me to bless you. You don't have to say all that to them, but you certainly can understand that in your heart, that it is God. Begin to glorify God. As you glorify God, the first thing it said in here, there's three aspects of bringing forth fruit. There is fruit, there is more fruit, there is much fruit, and God wants you to bring forth that in your life as we look through this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, but every branch that beareth fruit, what happens next? It said, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There is fruit, and then there is more fruit. Wherever you are right now, God doesn't want you to stay there. You are producing fruit under God, under righteousness under God. God wants you to even grow more and produce more of that fruit that is unto God. That's what God, once you become a productive branch, God wants to see you produce even more. My dad was a great gardener, and I told you this before. He did a great job raising tomato plants, especially, and he rose them. But he would go around and care for those tomato plants. He'd stake them and he'd wrap them up with old sheets. I remember they were standing up about, 6 feet high by the time he was done with those. But he would prune these things. He would purge them, so to speak. And one thing he always would do, between certain vines of the tomato plant, you know this already, there's a vine that grows out and that has blossoms on it that produces fruit. And then, but in the middle, sometimes there is a little branch that starts. My dad used to call it suckers. And he'd go off and he'd pinch off these suckers because they were drawing some of the nutrients away from that plant. And he would take care of that. I remember he would quake the ground around these and he would see that they were watered. And God wants you to bring more fruit. And sometimes, now I don't think that the plant yelled out when it was the suckers were removed from it. In the long run, it was a more vibrant plant after my father pruned it. But does anybody like to face persecution out here? Ooh, what's wrong with you? It says count it all joy. Does anybody want to be joyful out there? All right, then you want to suffer persecution. Count it all joy when you face various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or patience. Let that have its perfect work that you may be mature and perfect, lacking nothing. God wants to prune you. He wants to purge you. The things of life will prune you. They will purge you. They will challenge you. But the key thing that is purging us is the word of God. My father may have pinched those off or cut them off with a pair of scissors or a knife. But what's the Bible do to us? What's the word of God, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The day that you begin to take the glory unto yourself, God will come with a word and thrust it into your very heart and say, open that up. Are you giving me all the glory? Are you harboring something in your heart for yourself? And God will surgically remove that, whether you want to or not. He will not let you glorify yourself because it will kill you if you take glory unto yourself. God receives all the glory. That is, you are trying to be the vine when you are the only are the branch. God wants to keep you as the branch. And so, he purgeth it. And after we have been purged, after the word of God has worked in us, after trials and adversity have worked in our lives, are we any worse for that? No, it said that it may bring forth more fruit. Once you've been purged, once you have been cut, once you have been surgically encountered by the word of God, you will be purged and God will heal up that area and you will bring forth more fruit, a vibrant fruit that will come through maturity in God Almighty. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4 goes on to say, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Why can't it bear fruit of itself? Why, if you remove the branch from the vine and it tries to do something on its own, it has no nutrients. It has no life within it. That is why we are seeing so many places where it is churches that are trying to be self-actuated, that are trying to say it's all about you and let's just build this kind of church where everybody gets together and we say you're okay and I'm okay, and somehow they left the cross of Christ and the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit way in the background, and they are now going out for themselves, building their tower of Babel. And their punishment is just in this sense, that they are living for this world. And the Bible said that if you live for this world, the love of Christ is not in you. It's being united to the vine, Jesus Christ. And so he purges us. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I remember Rich Blofeld wrote that song, abide in me and I'll abide in you. It was just a beautiful song he wrote about John 15 years ago. And it's always stayed with me, one of those songs that stays in your heart. In verse 5, he goes on to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. He clarifies this to them. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth, and now he says this, much fruit. The first time it said, you shall bear fruit. Then it said in verse 2, you shall bring forth more fruit. And now it says here in verse 5, you shall bring forth much fruit. There is a production that goes on in the life of a Christian that is abiding. And I see it in some of the lives of those that have weathered the storm of adversity, weathered their lives. And I know, and I'm sorry only for Elvira's sake that I have to say this, that I've seen her constantly coming through and giving glory to God. She is producing much fruit, even though she is now 92. 92? Wow. That is something. And she has abided in Christ and has produced fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And I've seen that with others in this congregation. And when you're 90, I'll talk about you too. Or you talk about me. God wants you to stay in the vine. There's danger to ever pull away from that vine. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I talked to somebody that I knew went to church years ago, and I said, where are you fellowshipping? He said, oh, we don't fellowship anymore. When anybody ever says that, and we can go through the litany of the reasons why we don't, how many have heard the words that the reason I don't come to church is that there are too many hypocrites in the church? How many heard that one? And you know, I've told you what my response is. There's always room for one more. So come on down. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the fellowshipping of yourselves one with another. The Bible encourages you to get into fellowship with other Christians because iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens the other. And even when you see a person that it's not walking quite in the perfect way, you even can learn from them maybe what not to do. And you could be an encouragement to them. See, when you come to a church like this local assembly, I believe in the local assembly. Whatever the church may be that preaches Jesus Christ, I believe in a local group like this, where we can learn to live and grow, and you've heard me say this, with people that we don't always like. And when I say that, they do things that rub us the wrong way. But there in the midst of that is where you learn to exercise the patience and love of Jesus Christ. Do you think that Jesus liked everything that everybody did? No, he didn't. He didn't like that. And did he tell the truth to them? I even think of the rich young ruler. After he told him the truth of what he should do, it said the man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. Jesus didn't like even what he had to say, but he said it because it was the truth. When you come into fellowship with people, I am telling you, you've had difficulties in this church. Maybe you've had difficulties in other churches. You've had difficulties with people. But I'm telling you, if you will remain abiding in the vine, if you will keep your heart on Jesus Christ and let the love of God emanate from you in the very midst of your adversity, God will grow you. God will bring you to a deeper place. But if you sit with a heart of complaint and say, why does God do this to me? Or why are these people so hypocritical? Or why does this happen? You know, we're all in a process here. I am forgiven, but I'm not yet made perfect. I told you, I'm pressing on for on the prize of the high calling of God. We're all in that. You should respect my journey as much as you want me to respect your journey. If I fail in certain respects, you should be praying for me to come up to that place. And I will pray for you that you will come up to that place where you would be. Because we're all wanting to come into a deeper place in Christ. And if there's somebody here that could care less about Jesus Christ or care less about God, you're just doing this because your father, your mother dragged you here, or your children dragged you here, or you're coming here because you have Rangers or Missionettes, then I'm telling you, God has brought you here for a purpose, that he might speak into your heart. There's nothing ever occurs through happenstance. God has a reason and has a knowledge of everything that's happening in this room right now. He knows what you're thinking. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for... Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong one. Jesus knows more than Santa Claus. Imagine that. And so he knows your heart. He knows your heart's desire. He knows your failures. He knows your innermost stresses and thoughts. He knows all about that because, especially as you are abiding in the vine, his life goes through you and your life flows through him back and forth. Jesus knows all about you. He knows all about you. For some people, that's frightening. For others, it's such a joy to know that you are known. Oh, to know that I am known by God Almighty. Herman should sing it again. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. Thank God for that. Thank God for that, that I am known by God. He wants you to produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. If a man abide in me and my word abide in him, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done for you. Wow. When people read that for the first time, they said, wow, there's that Mercedes-Benz I've been wanting. I mean, I can ask whatever I want here. All you got to do is abide in Christ and you can get a new house. You can get the best job. You can get the prettiest girl. You can have the greatest kids. You can do all you want to. Wait a second. Is that what that scripture means? I'll tell you what that scripture means. It means as the branch abides in the vine, it begins to reflect what the vine is. Is that branch abides in the vine, it begins to look like that vine. As you continue to abide in Jesus Christ, you will be formed in the image of Christ. As you remain in Jesus Christ, his will become your will. And the desires of your heart will not be those fleshly movings of your heart that desires more things, but it will be a desire that glorifies God. And all the things that you ever wanted or ever thought about having will be caught up in the greater truth of glorifying God. Who wants to glorify God this day? Abide in the vine. And he will make your heart's desire come to you because it will be the will of Jesus Christ Almighty. And it will not be painful. Oh, I wanted this thing so much, but now I've got to glorify God. No, I have the glory of God in me and I'm raising a glorious praise to God with all my heart because he is rising up within me and giving me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. And so I am rejoicing as I glorify my Lord and my Savior who has purchased my life with his own precious blood. And all our hopes and dreams are caught up in the beauties of Christ. And we are cultivating a life that glorifies God rather than ourselves. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. And thine will now is my will, because you have filled me with the nectar from the vine, and I am flowing in you. After he says that, the last verse he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God is glorified in the lives of people that have produced fruit that is instigated, nurtured, and produced by the Holy Spirit. That is the glory of God. A life that is cultivating, glorifying God is a life that is united to the vine, will not separate, will not look any place, will not even look to the fruit, will only look to the vine. The fruit will be produced because you are a vine that produces fruit. It is God's job to purge you. It is God's job to prune you. It is God's job to nurture you. It is God's job to maintain you. All you have to do is cling to the vine. Stay in the vine. Give him the glory. Do his name. Rest in him. Abide in him. Tell him of your thanksgiving in him. Give your life to him because he is your life. Abide in him and he will abide in you. And so you will have cultivated a life that gives glory to God. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you